And we'll get going. So welcome. This is our second conference call for RS101 Recreation and Sport Systems. And I'd like to acknowledge that I'm hosting this call from the beautiful traditional territories of the Kwinlandun First Nation and Tonkwaxin Council. So today we'll begin with our quick round of introductions like we usually do. And then we'll take a look at some of the week two slides and content. And then talk a bit about working with people or sectors or organizations who are not in the field of recreation, so ones like justice or health.
Rebecca
has joined.
Hello, Rebecca. We're just starting the call right now, so good timing. We're just going to start our introductions in just a moment. So welcome today. I might throw in a few of the questions from the Jeopardy that we had today as well. So stay on your toes, and if you're in the chat, it'll give you a great place to participate with those questions too. So I'm just going to ask you to do a fairly short introduction today, just so that we can get through all our content a little bit faster than our usual calls. So when you introduce yourself with your name and your community, could you please tell us about one organization who's outside the recreation field with whom you work? So you don't have to go into great detail on the organization. You could just say, well, or it could be a government department or something like that. It could be that, you know, we work with the Department of Culture and Elders in Nunavut, for example. So you can just tell us one organization. And if you're not sure, if you don't really have anyone that you work with outside of recreation, that's okay, but I'm guessing most of you probably at least work with your local school or something like that. So Morgan, I'm sorry, I'm going to put you on the spot because I wrote your name down first. So we'll go from Morgan to Trevor to Kamonopik, Peter, Trista, Nathan, Tim, and Rebecca. And if you want to pop in the chat your answer instead, that's okay. But Morgan, if you could just tell us your name, your community, and if there's an organization or a department outside of the field of recreation that you work with. So Morgan, I'm not sure if you're muted or if you want to pop your answer into the chat. Okay, let's go to Iglulik, to Trevor and Kumnopik, if you guys wanted to unmute and then let us know.
Okay. Kumnopik, and I'm from Iglulik. And one sector that we work with is the Northern Store. We work with the Northern Store manager to work on the special events cash prizes and give the Northern estimated check and fee on top of it to get all the amount from the check so we could have prizes during special events.
That's great. That's a really good example. So that's private business, but that business, you're working with them to support what you do in recreation. So thanks, Kumnopik. Trevor, did you want to jump in as well, or would you just say, yeah, I agree?
He says agree.
Okay. And sometimes when there's several of you from one community or one organization on the call, it's totally okay for just one person to speak on behalf of all of you who are there. So that's all right. I'm good with that. Morgan's popped in the chat that she's from Kuklukduk and works with the Department of Wellness and currently working on a Halloween party for tomorrow. And thank you for taking the time. I know that leading up to Halloween is a very busy time in your communities. So I really appreciate you joining the call today. Thanks, Morgan. Okay, Peter, let's go to you, then Trista, then Nathan.
What was the question one more time? Sorry, I didn't.
Yes, I know you're not in the chat. So just introduce yourself and an organization that you work with in your role in recreation, but the organization outside of the outside of the recreation field.
Sorry, that someone just started, like, I didn't hear the last bit of that, the introduction.
Yeah, just tell us. Just an organization or department that's outside of the recreation field with whom you work.
Oh, okay. So my name is Peter. I work for the Recreation Parks Association of the Yukon, and an organization that we work at would be like SAR, like the Sport and Rec branch. Would that be?
Yeah, so they are in the field of recreation. So can you think of one that you would work with that's outside of the field of recreation?
Oh, outside. I mean, Rec North. Not Rec North. I'm trying to think here.
I'm putting Peter on the spot because Peter's new.
Yeah, I can't think of any.
That's okay. I'll give you an example. So RPA, Recreation Parks Association of Yukon, works with the Health Promotion Unit, especially around healthy eating. So that would be one example.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's okay. Sorry to put you on the spot there, Peter. Okay, and Trish has popped in the chat that she's from Ignace, and she's been working with the NWMO, the Nuclear Waste Management Organization. That's really interesting, Trista. I wonder, I'm not sure if it's busy where you are and you can explain just in a few words what you do, or if you want to pop that in the chat. Because I'm just really curious what that entails, how you work with them. So maybe you can pop that in the chat then, Trista. And let's go over to Nathan. Nathan, just introduce yourself and tell us one organization you work with. And I know you were kind of telling us about that at the beginning of the call before we started, but maybe there's another organization that you work closely with that's outside of the field of recreation.
Yeah, okay. Baker Lake tends to work with lots, like, you know, private businesses, Northern Co-op. But since Baker Lake's surrounded by so many exploration companies, I'm going to stick with mining sector. We've been getting a lot of funding, like, from Agnico, Swag, a lot of donations. We got, like, a bunch of bicycles from Agnico Eagle Gold Mine. So, yeah, I'm going to go with the mining sector, helping us out a lot lately.
That's great. So, you know, in a way that's similar to tapping into private business or the business sector the same way as what Monopic says that in Iglulik, they work closely with the Northern Store. So thanks for sharing that, Nathan. Let's go over to Tim. Tim, if you'd like to introduce yourself, I don't know if you're somewhere where you can chat on the phone or if you want to pop it in the chat and tell us about... Awesome. So someone to work with outside of the sector.
Sure. So, hi everybody. It's Tim from, and I'm finally back in Yellowknife. Just got back in to 6 inches of snow. Quite a surprise. An organization that I work with that's not really in the sector is the Guardians Program, and I do a lot of work with them across Northwest Territory.
Okay. Do you want to tell us a tiny bit more?
Yeah, sure. So for anyone who's unfamiliar with Guardians, it's a program that trains people in the communities, gives them a hard skills as well as soft skills for looking after the land and being community leaders for treating the land with respect. And that can involve things like environmental monitoring, first aid leadership, risk management, rescue. And so what I do for them is I do elements of risk management and rescue training.
That's awesome. Thanks, Tim. That's actually really interesting. So now you explain that. Kyla, who's in our learning event from Watson Lake, she was telling me she took Land Guardian training in Fort Nelson and then worked just in Northern BC for one of the First Nations. So it sounds perhaps similar, but that's super. Thank you. Okay, and then Rebecca, I'm just wondering, are you okay to... is it not too busy where you are that you can share an introduction and an organization that you work with outside of the field of recreation, or did you want to pop that into the chat? Okay, and maybe popping into the chat because it sounds like perhaps you're muted. So I'll wait for that to pop up in the chat, and we'll continue with our call while I see. Just jump in, Rebecca, if you wanted to speak up in there. So okay, so let's move on to a little bit of the content. If you happen to have the slides open in front of you, I will be starting with slide 15 today. And last week, we looked pretty closely at how the recreation and sports system is made up of lots of different parts. Parts that, as you told me last week on the call, should work in a connected and coordinated way. Week one also introduced some of the big picture documents or frameworks or policies that influence how the system works. So we looked at things like the National Framework for Recreation, the TRC Calls to Action. Some of you looked at the Nunavut the Framework for Sport, Physical Activity, and Recreation. And then we also talked about other external things like the pandemic, funding, resources, and how they really affect what goes on. If you scroll to slide 16, this is a fairly important slide because you've just told me some of the different parts. You've explained them in different ways, which is really great. So slide 16 shows that our recreation and sports system has different levels to it. And you can think of the levels in several different ways. So one is you can look at really big, which is national. Two, and then territorial, provincial, and then local or community, and in some cases regional. So in NWT, there's the Mackenzie Recreation Association, so that's a regional thing. So different levels or different scales. And Nunavut also has three regions where sport and recreation is delivered through three regions as well. Our system also includes, as it added, community groups, which are more informal. So you might have like walking groups going on or things like our Northern Recreation Network on Facebook. So there's sort of those four different ways that you can divide it up. So each of the different sectors plays a different role. So if you think about public sector or government specifically, whether it's a hamlet, a territorial government, or the federal government. The public sector focuses on having structure and laws and providing information. And it delivers public services in order to meet basic needs and rights. So this is where usually your municipality or your hamlet recreation department sits. The business or private sector, as some of you just mentioned, so the northern store and mining, tends to respond quickly to when there are opportunities and challenges. And that's part of the reason why it's really helpful to try and tap into that private sector, because I think they can sometimes respond with funding and support a lot faster than what the other sectors might be able to. So businesses focus on goods and services, employment, economic growth. I'm not sure how many examples of this there are across the North, but something like a bowling alley, if it's run privately, is an example of a recreation business or a fitness center or something like that. And then we have another sector, which is our nonprofit organizations and societies, or we also might call this the social or community sector. And this sector focuses more on social development, so opportunities for individual growth, and also provides services for those who might be marginalized or excluded. So in the Yukon, the Recreation and Parks Association of the Yukon really makes sure it serves rural communities, the communities outside of Whitehorse, because Whitehorse already has a lot of services. So that's an example of how a nonprofit works. The important thing about knowing, you don't have to memorize this or anything, but if you kind of know how this sector works and where the components are, you can sort of figure out, am I only tapping into government at the provincial or territorial level, or am I only tapping into business? Is there an opportunity where I can get better resources, or can somebody else help me with what I'm doing in recreation? So that's one of the reasons why it's really useful to understand how this works. So I see Rebecca's popped in the chat. Rebecca's from Chesterfield Inlet originally, and she's the upcoming executive director for the Nunavut Arctic Sports Association. And I love that you're working with Dawn. Dawn at ARPAN, Recreation Parks Association of Nunavut, is a wealth of knowledge. So that's really great, Rebecca. And ARPAN's done a great job of working with organizations that Rebecca's pointed out, like Canadian Tire Jumpstart, the Blue Jays, and I'm not sure if I can say that, Maki Dayaka. Anyways, I'll let you pronounce that for me, Rebecca. Thank you. Thank you so much. And I know that Dawn's also worked with mining sector and industry, and there's also different Inuit associations in Nunavut that support recreation too. So quite a range of parts of our system to tap into. So I'm going to pop into the chat a really quick Jeopardy question. This one is worth 500 points. So if you're not in the chat, I'll read it out and you can speak it. But if you're in the chat, see if you can answer it before somebody else. So here's the question. What is Canada's national summer sport? Is there, I think everybody's in the chat, so who can pop the answer into the chat? Woohoo, Morgan, you win 500 points, and Rebecca, you're second, and then Nathan. Awesome. That's great. You guys were fast on that. Okay, here's another question for you, and this one's worth 200 points. I'll pop it in the chat first and then read it out. What is the school called that takes place in any kind of natural space? So what is a school called that takes place in any kind of natural space? This answer might not make sense in Nunavut where there's no trees. That's a hint. Awesome. So parks are natural spaces, absolutely. And I think I would call it a park school in Nunavut because you don't have the trees. But Peter's got forest school. So that's kind of a southern term. It works for the Yukon, it works for maybe parts of MWT, but probably doesn't work for Nunavut. Trista, I'm just wondering if you're in the chat, if you can answer if you guys have any forest schools around your area. I'd be interested to know that. So those were two questions, so we'll keep going here. And I've got another question for everybody coming up in a minute, but not quite as easy as those ones. So recreation leaders often establish and build relationships with sectors outside of the field. So you've talked about mining, businesses, different organizations. You might coordinate your events, like Morgan mentioned, with wellness. I'm sure some of you probably work with education. Peter, we talked about you working with health promotion. And often people will also work with justice as well. So let's just take a few minutes. We're going to go around our circle again, and I'll pop the question in the chat, and I'm going to start this time. Peter, I'm going to put you on the spot and start with you this time because I know you can chat on the phone, and some of the others are just answering in the chat, so that will help them have a bit of time. So the question this time is, when we work with others, meaning people outside of the field of recreation, what's a benefit or what's a challenge? So you can comment on either of those. When you're working with people outside of the field of recreation or organization, what's a benefit and what's a challenge? So let's start with Peter for this round, and then those of you who are answering in the chat, you can pop your answer in the chat. And thanks, Trista. Nice to know that there's one close by in Thunder Bay. Okay, Peter, do you want to tackle that question?
Yeah, I think one big challenge is that people who do not work in recreation don't think of recreation as important or as an essential service. So they might kind of trivialize it if you were trying to push for a new initiative or a new project or whatever, which can be really frustrating because it is really important.
That's definitely a huge challenge. You know, or sometimes they think recreation is just physical activity or it's health, or they think that they do recreation and they don't even know there's a recreation sector. So thank you for that, Peter. Can you think of a benefit that you might, of working with others outside of the sector?
Well, with the same kind of notion in mind, you can teach other people about the importance of recreation. I mean, it's a very, like, vague term, and people people might not be fully understanding of its importance. And so if you have some open-minded people, maybe you could help push them to promote recreation more.
Great. Excellent, which is always good because recreation does a lot of great things in our community, so it's good when people understand that. Thanks, Peter. Over to you, Trista. I'm guessing you might want to pop that in the chat. So while you're typing in the chat, I'm going to ask Nathan. Nathan, when you work with others, like the mining sector or anybody else outside of the field of recreation, what are some of the benefits or challenges that you see?
I find that the benefits with working like with the mine, they have different ideas and different ways of doing things because they're the mining sector. They're like work, 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 production, production, gotta save money and make more money. It's all about money for them, which is kind of benefits me because I deal with budgets as well. But then the challenges are the mining sector always gets what they want since they have got people in private sector or government sector fighting for them. And it's very hard to say no to the mining sector. Even when Justice has the room booked, and they're like, well, can you call Justice and tell him to reschedule? It's like, it's an important court date. I'm sorry. Well, can you get this? And they're like, they'll have to hear the word no 10 times before they finally acknowledge it. It's frustrating. Frustrating when you're working with big money.
Yeah, so that's a big challenge, right? They kind of sort of take over or feel like they're more important than even the community, right? But is there a benefit for working with mining that you notice? Like, is there a plus side? You get money from them, or do they support facilities in your community, or what do you notice?
Yeah, the benefits are they open up a lot of options. Like, let's say I wanted to get Eurobungee, a bungee organization from Quebec. They had like 2,000 pounds worth of equipment, you know, bungee equipment. And it would have cost me like $20,000 to bring it up. While the mining sector has this Millennium jet, Boeing 737, and they brought it up for free, like for Baker Lake. So that was really nice. Like, they can handle all the logistics of monumental projects, and something that would take me a year or two, they can usually do it in a month or two or less.
Yeah, so definitely a lot faster and more responsive, and sometimes covering costs that would be like crazy expensive for you. So that's great. Thanks, Nathan, and I really appreciate you pulling out the mining sector because that's a big one in my mind at the moment too in the Yukon. So thank you for that. Okay, over to Tim, and then I'll read some of the ones that are posted in the chat. Tim, what are your thoughts like about working with others outside the field of recreation? What benefits do you observe, or what are some of the challenges?
I get it. Well, one of the challenges that sort of harkens back to what an earlier person mentioned was trying to get people to recognize what recreation is. And if I hear recreation is sport one more time, I'm going to lose my mind, I feel like, some days. Recreation is so much more than just sport. So that's one. And sort of jumping on what Nathan talked about too, the idea that you know, money sort of drives everything is a challenge, but it's also something that you can leverage. And Nathan, it sounds like you're doing a great job of that, so way to go. But you know, when we think about recreation and its ability to change things, specifically in ways that relate to wellness, is what I've been thinking about lately. Using the idea that recreation saves money in the long term is a way to get people more interested in hearing what I have to say about how that happens and trying to get more money into the sector. The hard side of that, or the downside of that, but the outcomes are sometimes challenging. Trying to provide measurable outcomes, which is what a lot of funders want to see, can sometimes be difficult, especially when it comes to trying to show how recreation leads directly to wellness and therefore also to saving money.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Tim, and thanks for pulling together also what Peter and Nathan said as well. So, you know, that it is, recreation is really important, but not everybody recognizes that. So it's a good opportunity, but it's also a challenge. So some of the other things, Trish has popped in the chat that she gets new and interesting ideas from working outside with people outside the sector, which is totally true. People see things in a different way. So great point, Trista. And that the challenge can be there's lots of hoops to jump through to make some of these, those ideas happen. And they have no patience. So some big challenges there. And especially if you're working perhaps with industry or other government departments sometimes too. So thanks for sharing that, Trista. Rebecca has popped in like sort of gaining knowledge in how others work. You know, she's learning a lot from Dawn on how this happens. And it is in recreation, as Tim mentioned, we can leverage those relationships to make recreation work better. But you're right, Rebecca, it takes a lot of sort of knowledge and experience, and it's about building those relationships. And Dawn's really good at that. So you got a great person to learn from. And Morgan said that some of the benefits are gaining more learning experiences, ideas, and help with planning big events. That's so important because sometimes you're the only one or maybe there's two people in recreation, and if you get that help from a different, from wellness or education or something like that, somebody outside the sector, you've got extra help. And Kumanopik, I noticed that you and Trevor popped in. Benefits that come with working with others are how, what you can get to and what you can get done. And the challenges are the different mindsets. Exactly. That's a big challenge. I don't know if you or Trevor had anything else to add to that, Kumanopik?
I don't think Trevor anything to say add to it. I think he went out for a cigarette.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks so much for sharing, everybody. That you sort of painted a very rich picture of how we can get more benefits related to recreation in our communities by working with others. And when we work with others, whether it's wellness or industry or education, it also helps us, as Tim mentioned, address some of those very complex social issues, things like poverty or chronic disease or things like that. So when we work together, we can do more in our communities. And I think that's why we're all in recreation. So I think we have a little bit of time right now. I do have another big question, but for a Jeopardy question. So if you're ready for this one, this is worth 500 points too. So I'm going to pop it in the chat. And if you want to speak it on the phone, you can just speak up. But here's the question. What award established in 1951 serves as a proud symbol for Indigenous peoples in Canada? Anyone know the answer to that one? It's worth 500 points. Okay, we've got RPAN. So RPAN has awards, absolutely. This one goes back to 1951 it was established, and RPAN's been around for, I believe it's 10 or 11 years. Anyone have any other guesses? If not, I'll tell you the answer. Okay, so the answer is the Tom Longboat Award, and it's actually, oh, you got it, Rebecca, thank you. You're faster than me. Way to go. So you get 500 points. Tom Longboat was an Onondaga distance runner born in Oshawican Six Nations Indian Reserve in Ontario way back in 1887, so a long time ago. He's actually one of the most celebrated and accomplished athletes in Canadian history and also one of the world's greatest long distance runners. So he helped establish marathon running as an international sport and won marathons such as the Boston Marathon back in 1907, so more than 100 years ago. Tom is a member of the Canadian Sports Hall of Fame, and in 2008, Ontario, so where you are, Trista, actually passed an act that proclaims June 4th of each year to be Tom Longboat Day. So, Tristan, I don't know if you know that or not, but I'm wondering if you just pop in the chat if you knew that about June 4th in Ontario being Tom Longboat Day. So I've got one more question for you, one more Jeopardy question, and this one's worth a couple less points. Oh, that's interesting, Trista. So it might be something you can pull out on June 4th. So get everybody out for a run or something like that on June 4th, a walk or run. So here's another question, and this one's worth 200 points. So which NGO, which stands for non-government organization or nonprofit, motto is, it's time for Canada to sit less and move more? Anyone know the answer to that one? Worth 200 points. Sport for Life almost. Sport for Life is an NGO in Canada. It's one that you might see on Facebook a lot, after you see Sport for Life a lot on Facebook. Participation. Way to go, Nathan. You got it. So 200 points for you, Nathan. So the participation really helps promote physical activity. So moving more and sitting less. And they've got some great resources that you can use in your community. So thanks for that. So moving on, I think I'm on slide 21 now. I skipped a few slides, but I just wanted to explain a little bit about how you might work, like how relationships with others work. So there's sort of a little bit of a table on slide 21, and I'll explain it. Sometimes we talk about networking with people. Sometimes coordinating, sometimes cooperating, and sometimes collaborating. And the reason why I find that interesting is because we don't work with everybody in the same way. So networking just means that we exchange information. So you might tell the school that you're having a Halloween event. So that would be networking. Coordinating is a little bit different. Coordinating means that we might actually make sure that there's nothing else going on at the same time. So Nathan, you mentioned Justice having the hall booked. So you and Justice, Recreation and Justice, are coordinating your schedules, but then mining comes along. So coordinating means that you align your activities. In the Yukon, we're sometimes pretty bad at holding big special events on the same weekend, and then everybody wonders why nobody goes to them. It's because there's too many things scheduled at the same time. Cooperation means that two groups or organizations actually share resources like funding or an office and do something together, or maybe they work together on an event. So Morgan, it sounds like you're cooperating on your Halloween event with wellness in your community. And then collaboration is actually when you actually dig in, get your heels in, you work together, and what you're doing together benefits both of the organizations or all of the organizations. It benefits all the people that you serve and your stakeholders. So the Recreation North Partnership is an example of collaboration across three territories and the Rec and Parks Associations, and it benefits a lot broader. Like, it benefits a lot of people across the territories and into the provinces, especially the rural and remote areas. So I'm going to ask you to just think in mind. I'm going to pop those four things into the chat so that you can see what they are. So there's networking, coordination, cooperation, and collaboration. And if you think of those four different things, I'm wondering if you can think of an organization that you work with and how you do it. You can use the one that you've already told us when you started. So, Morgan, you mentioned wellness. I'm just curious, do you network, coordinate, cooperate, or collaborate with that organization? So I'll pop that question in the chat. And let's see, Tim, can we start with you so that people who are writing their answers in the chat have a chance to pop it in the chat. So
sure,
just,
thanks.
There's the question coming up. There we go.
Okay. So one of the organizations that I've worked with in the past is the Canadian Parks and Recreation Association. And I have done all of these things, network, coordinate, cooperate, and collaborate with the organization. But I would focus maybe on collaborate. No, actually, I think it'll work. Yeah, collaborate. And specifically, I think that the Canadian Parks and Recreation Association is a conduit for a lot of federal government money that goes into the recreation sector. And so one of the collaboration efforts that NWCRPA and through my job has undertaken is to be the distributor or the disburser of some of the funds for Northern Canada.
That's great. So that would be things like green jobs, for example.
Yeah, green jobs, the youth employment experience, and there's another one in the pipe that actually I think maybe was just introduced, and I can't remember the name of it at the moment.
Is that the reaching each and every one?
I think that's it, Caroline.
Okay, yeah, I just got information about that, so I will share. Make sure I share that with everybody, too. So.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks, Tim. Great. Okay, so Rebecca, if you wanted to pick one of those organizations that you're learning to work with and just tell us, you know, is it a networking relationship, a coordinating, a cooperating, or a collaborating relationship? And Morgan, same for you, if you want to pop that in the chat. Kumanopik, you know, you mentioned that you work with the Northern Store. Would you say that you just share information with them, coordinate events, or cooperate to support your event? Which one do you think it would be? Network, coordinate, cooperate, or collaborate?
I think it's networking for that one, since we just change, we give them the check, they give us the money, and that we just host the special event.
That's right. So you network and probably, you know, they support what you're doing. So that's great. Good example. Thank you. Peter, if we use health promotion as the example of the organization, would you say that you network? What would you say, or is it cooperate, coordinate, or collaborate?
I feel like most likely they collaborate on initiatives, I'm guessing, but I haven't really gotten that there yet.
Yeah, so some of the past initiatives, like Kids in the Kitchen, was an example of one where it would be in collaborate. But right now, Health Promotion Unit gives RPA money for healthy snacks for one of RPA's Real Leader programs. So that would, if you look on slide 21, that's an example of cooperating because there's a sharing of resources there. So they're giving you resources.
Oh, yeah.
They're cooperating and helping you deliver that program. Great. Trista, you mentioned earlier the acronym was, okay, PASS, it's busy where you are, thanks, no worries. Nathan, with the mining sector, would you say you're mostly networking? Are you coordinating? Are you cooperating? Probably not collaborating because they probably don't work on recreation, but which one do you think that it would be?
Sorry, I forgot I was on mute. yeah, like I said, Baker Lake, for a number of years, we've been, all the organizations and all departments would be doing their own thing. Yeah, we were like silos. We wouldn't even talk with each other. Sometimes we'd be working on one project and order 2-3 parts when we needed only one. So, like, it was a real problem. But now that the mine is here, it is a little easier. We're trying to collaborate be more collaborative. That is the goal. Very hard, though. So we try and communicate, coordinate, and then try to work out a deal where we make everyone in Baker Lake happy, also making the mining sector happy, well, Agnico Eagle, so that they can get what they want. So, like, let's say they want to have a community feast, and they need 2-3 days. Well, I'll move my bingo event from the community hall into the indoor playground, because it's a big, wide-open space. So to accommodate them, try and collaborate, like, try and work it out just to make it happen. Like, it's so hard to get things to finish sometimes. It's like, it's easy to get things going, but getting it done is the hard part, like.
Yeah, so some of that coordination is the challenges around coordinating, I guess it is, right? So sometimes
you're
cooperating a bit more, but maybe it's not working as well.
Yeah. And then I'm telling them one thing, and it's going in one ear and out the other, so it's frustrating, too. Like, it's hard to make them happy. But like I said, they're trying to make us happy as well, because they are mining around here. It is our Inuit Impact Benefits Agreement to work with each other, to work together. So
yeah.
It's a challenge.
Exactly. It can be. And Peter's just popped in the chat sort of trying to clarify that. And I think, Peter, some of the clarification behind that is what Nathan just said, that there's, like, often mining has agreements with Indigenous governments. And so that can sometimes affect how that you would describe or define that relationship. So thanks, Nathan. Morgan's popped in that she cooperates and collaborates with wellness and youth. They're all putting in an effort into tomorrow's Halloween event. So they came up with ideas and thoughts on what games, who's going to do what. You know, one person bakes cake, somebody else goes to the store, somebody else gets donations. So that's really great. That's a really good example of collaboration. Thank you for sharing that, Morgan. And also, Rebecca's put in about being hired on by ARPAN with funding from, I'm sorry, Rebecca, I can't pronounce the anyways, I think the Q is a Y sound. So the Inuit Training Corp. I need some lessons in pronunciation. That would be helpful. And also funding through Jump. How do I say it?
Makiyasta.
Makiyasta? Like that?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much. I don't like mispronouncing words, so Makiyasta. Inuit Training Corporation, and also funding through Jumpstart. So, you know, those are really great examples of cooperation because there's resources being shared and everybody's getting sort of, it helps the organizations involved reach their goals, even if they're separate goals. So thank you very much for that. I've got one final Jeopardy question for you. Here it comes in the chat. The question is, this association has an award that acknowledges and recognizes youth who've shown a commitment to themselves, their school, and their community to live a more active and healthy lifestyle. Anybody know the answer to that? Who's the association? And this one is worth 500 points. Yay, Morgan, you got it, ARPAN. So I think, Morgan, you probably got the most points. Yeah, I think you got at least 1,000 points. So way to go. Give yourselves all a big round of applause for that. So thanks, everybody. This wraps up our conference call today. And you do have a required learning activity that's due on Sunday. I think some of you have done the activity. Some of you have selected who you're going to choose for the activity. Some of you might still need to select that. So what you need to do to find the list is to go in to activity number 6, and under the instructions, number 1 says select one part of the system from this list. So when you click that link, a document in Google Docs will come up, and then scroll down and look at the different ones that are on the list. So Trista, for example, you've chosen Canadian Tire and Canadian Tire Jumpstart. Nathan, you've chosen the Department of Culture and Heritage. Kumanathik, you've chosen the Days Care Foundation. Trevor, the Hockey Canada Foundation. And there's a couple of others. But if you haven't chosen one, please jump in there and choose one. That way, each of you is presenting on a different organization. And if there's something that's not listed here that you think is important for other people to know about, so Rebecca, you've mentioned some organizations like the Inuit Training Corp. If that's an important one and you want to present some information on it, you certainly can add to the list. It doesn't have to be just what's on the list. So please try and choose that today so that you have a choice to choose something that you're interested in and that somebody else hasn't already chosen. If you have any questions about the required learning activity, please let me know. My hope is that you'll keep it fairly simple, but you'll still include some information. So imagine that people don't know what that organization is. So Trista, you chose Canadian Tire Jumpstart. So let's imagine people don't know who Canadian Tire Jumpstart is. See if you can use a picture, a couple of words, maybe a website address, to sort of share some information about who the organization is, whether it's like a business or a nonprofit, whether it covers the whole country or just your province or territory. And so it's just try and capture the information without a lot of writing, because the idea is for other people to see what you've posted and to have like a quick visual look at that so that we get a sense of all the different parts in, or many of the different parts in our sport and recreation system. If you have any questions, I am going to be traveling today, and I have meetings tomorrow and Saturday, but I still watch my email and my messages. So if you have any questions about the required learning activity, please send me a message, text me, whatever works for you. Just a reminder that we have a break. Next week is what I call a catch-up week, not catch-up, but catch-up. I try and give you a break because I know Halloween is a busy time in your communities. And so, you know, if you can't get this done by Sunday, you need to wait until after Halloween. That's okay, because our next learning event starts on November 7th. So, you know, you can give yourself an extra few days if you need it to do this activity. Yeah, very busy. Not only is it Halloween, but it's transition from fall activities to winter activities, getting arenas open, getting staff in place, and pretty soon in Nunavut, you guys are going to be planning Christmas activities too. So this gets to be a very busy time. So thank you so much, everybody. I really appreciate you being on the call today. Kwana, Nakumik, Yanamik, merci, Mati Cho, and have a wonderful afternoon where you are.
Thank you, Caroline. Have fun in Ontario.